home, so the 2 and the 1. And in the fourth leg, which is the lucky last, are 3 selections, 14, 1 and 2.
Thanks very much, Priscilla. Have a wonderful afternoon.
I will do. Thank you, Simon.
Priscilla Looker there. Now it's 10:30 and standing by Fred Hastings and Mick Murray.
Menangle Tips every Saturday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Now the big Chariots of Fire program at Tabcorp Park Menangle last night. And the man calling the action, of course, was Fred Hastings. Fred, good morning.
G'day, Simon. Yeah, it was a cracking race. It promised to be one, and I think it certainly delivered. And as we welcome in Mick Gearan, you had a grandstand view of the race. And what did you make of it, Mick?
Look, I thought, Fred, as I say, good morning to you and a big hi to everybody listening around New South Wales. The race was always a chance to set up for the swoopers, and that was because Pickard, the horse who was the likely leader, I thought was vulnerable, and that meant Chase Auckland, the likely trailer, was vulnerable to Pickard. And then you had Ignatius, who we thought might sit past outside that pier and not give them a gap. So once that happened, and that clump at the front end of the field went very quick, the first half in just under 54 seconds, and then became vulnerable to the swoopers, I thought there was a good chance we might see what unfolded next, which was Poster Boy getting home over the top of a brilliantly driven Ashley Lopez.
Let's relive the moment. Poster Boy joined the 150, the sub-150 club.
They start to bunch on the turn at the quarter. 28-4 the split. It's still Pickard leading Ignatius. Rack him up, Tiger Pie. All you need is Faith Peels to the outside. Probing for a runner's Chase Auckland. And the deepest will be Poster Boy letting down with its run. All you need is Faith goes up out after Pickard. Getting through the middle. Now is Ashley Lopez bursting through. And Poster Boy. Poster Boy reins up on the outside. Goes to the lead. And it's the pin-up tonight. Poster Boy. Poster Boy beats Ashley Lopez from the clouds. Hail Christians right up there for third with Pickard.
So Victoria Derby winner there, Freddie, with Poster Boy. Emma Stewart combining with Chris Alford knocking off Ashley Lopez. And Hail Christian, the big surprises from the race for Chase Auckland and Ignatius, well out of the placings.
Well, just firstly with Poster Boy, look, he's got a real affinity with Menangle, won the Pacers Derby there last season and came out right down the outside. Typical Chris Alford, no panic, no hustle, bustle early and produced the goods when needed. As Mick said, the drive on Ashley Lopez was just brilliant. Luke McCarthy, take a bow. You got to pay tribute to a great drive, even in defeat, and Luke produced a perler. You touched on Hal Christian, big run. And then you look at Ignatius. Look, reverse barriers somewhere along the way, Mick, and Ignatius may well be in the finish, but he was three deep on the back of Rack 'em Up Tiger by Pie for virtually the first half of the Chariots, then breezed outside them in a 27.9 second split, 28.4 third split. And look, he was only beaten four lengths, and will lose no cast for the run, but there certainly were excuses for Ignatius and Rack 'em Up Tiger Pie.
Yeah, there was. I thought he was always going to end up there. In fact, I couldn't see anywhere else in the race that Ignatius was going to end up.
Yeah, 100%.
And that was the reason for the drift. I mean, he was way, way too short at 2.6 post-barrier draw on Monday. Got out to around 4.4 on the tote because you don't win in this grade sitting park. Alicia Lazarus, you might be able to pull him off. It just doesn't happen very often, Fred. So it was a case of a horse's reputation being bigger than the reality of the race. And the same thing applied to Chase Auckland. Like, the money came for him, and he looked fantastic. But there was a very good chance he was going to be trailing an inferior horse. And that's no disrespect to Pickard, but he's not a good open-class horse yet. But once it unfolded, at Menangle, it's very hard to swoop. But when you can swoop is when the leader is going to stop and come back to you because there's no passing lane, that affects the trailer. And, of course, the horse outside the leader is already working hard. So once you get those vulnerable clumps at the front end of a field, that's when you get swoopers. We saw the same thing in the Miracle Mile last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see more of it. We're starting to see more of the miles at Menangle having 54 or sub-54 first 800s. And often by horses who aren't Tiger Tara or aren't Lazarus and can't keep going at that speed. And then you have horses like last year's Miracle Mile where Myfield Marshall came over the top of them. So I actually think it's been a good thing for Menangle. I think that Menangle in its early days was very much bizarrely as the big track, a leader's track in the mile races, because the good horses got on the front end of the field. And
well, they were able to get a cheap second quarter generally, Mick, weren't they? They were able to peel off a 28, 29 second quarter, and that doesn't happen as much anymore.
No, it doesn't. And we have a lot more. Like last night was 149.1, and that just seems normal now. So the reason it doesn't happen in North America is, in North America with the wider sulkies, it's just so much harder to get wide off the track. So we're seeing a change in the way racing is done at Menangle, and that's great. Because I think it's the best version of race harness racing in Australia. I really do. A lot of people like the small track racing at Gloucester Park. I don't. I like big track racing. The best horses tend to win. And last night, Poster Boy was the best horse in that race on his performance. Now, he was invited, as he was going to be, to the Miracle Mile, and Emma Stewart told us on Sky Television last night she's going to accept that. So, Fred, two spots are gone for the Miracle Mile. That leaves us with six. And pretty much everybody I spoke to, the only person who was unsure of the trainers of the big guns as to whether they would head to the Miracle Mile prelude next Saturday was James Rattray with Ignatius. I think he might take a pass, but Mark Purdom could have five there. Kevin Pizzuto could have two after Major Dan wins last night, joining Tiger Tara. Shane and Lauren Tritton looking to have up to four, two guaranteed, maybe try and get four horses in those preludes. And even Hale Christian, who ran third last night, is looking to go there. So, I mean, we have some really, really strong preludes with six spots left. I think the club will automatically invite the first two home next week in the preludes.
Yeah.
But I also think they might leave a floating card just in case they're unlucky for Myfield Marshall or Tiger Tara, because they're the two horses, defending champion, of course, the incumbent champion, they want the race. And if they happen to be unlucky next week, I think they can make a case for inviting them. But it's intriguing at the moment, and the market has seen Toaster Boy come into 6.5, but Tiger Tara still holds sway at 3.5 for the Miracle Mile, which is now, of course, 13 days away.
Of course, Ashley Lokas. I mean, Ashley Lokas ran second. The club made it clear last night the only invite that was being dished out last night was to the winner. But certainly Ashley Lokas ran 150 in a fast class race about 3 or 4 weeks ago, second in the Chariots. You'd be feeling pretty confident if you were part of the All Stars team. I know they've got to, ideally run next week, but you'd sort of be thinking they've nearly done enough to gain an invite. Is that how you see it with Ashley?
Yeah, I agree with you, Fred. I think if it was a weak third last week, like say for example, a Salty Robin ran third last week, or even a Hale Christian, I think they could make the case that Ashley Lokas, who finished third in an Auckland Cup as well, was superior form-wise over the summer, and he might get a start. Also, that would put a Purdon Rasmussen / Luke McCarthy-driven horse into the race, which would be good for turnover. So I think he's the horse who might get the freer ride into the final alongside Tiger Tara and Myfield Marshall. But we're only supposing at this stage. Fred, the race which could be really interesting next week is the Mayor's race, because we have one more lead-up to the Ladyship Mile. We saw the Sibelia last night, but the four biggest guns in the market for the Ladyship Mile weren't in that race. So they're all going to have to turn up in the same race next week, and they're going to have to run top four to be guaranteed a spot. So we're talking about Tell Me Tales, Dream About Me, Ally Mac, and, of course, Utmost Delight. So we're going to have a superstar Mayor's race next week as they try and qualify for that Ladyship Mile the week after.
Absolutely. Just back quickly to the Miracle Mile, the fast class race last night, we saw another sub-150 performance by a horse that when he does everything right, he's a very speedy customer, Major Dan.
The leader still Major Dan, trying hard, 4.08, the fixer, Lombo, Coda, Kinabalu, and then came Conviction. It's Major Dan, the leader, trying hard on the outside as the fixer, together there with 4.08, Lombo, Coda, Kinabalu, sneaking up on the inside, but Major Dan is running the arms off the clock, dashes away a couple in front and goes home to win in a great photo finish in 149.5. You've got the fixer, Lombo, Coda, Kinabalu, and Conviction all up there for second, third, and fourth. Then came
Major Dan there, Freddie. No dramas for that, even money favourite in the fast class race.
Yeah, look, he's preceding three runs, two of them, including the Newcastle Mile at Group 1. He just didn't want to score up, and he galloped and took no competitive part. So I guess in some respects, and Mick, your thoughts on this, Kevin Pizzuto, he'd have to have his heart in his mouth a little bit, given the horse's performances in two of the preceding three runs. But he left no doubt that if he does everything right, he's a Miracle Mile contender.
Yeah, very much so. And it's not actually a particularly quick front line for the horses we've mentioned going into the prelude. There's not many flyers like a Swash, Dewey Lombo of previous years. Well, he's the obvious one. He's the obvious horse who next week could find himself on the front end of the field and probably not being attacked. He's a lovely, big, strong horse. I did speak to Kevin post-race last night. He wasn't too concerned about the gallops because the mobile went too slow on the wet track at Newcastle. He did gallop two starts before that too. I just think Chris Geary was smart last night. He hung back slightly from the pack, gave the horse a lot of room, and gave him a horse to almost follow as a score-up. He was sort of half a length back on the fixer, and then he rushed him at the gate, and he so quickly over the first 200 metres that he could afford to be building up a head of steam after the start rather than before the start. So I think Chris Geary deserves a lot of respect for what he did last night. He drove that horse very, very well. Can he win a Miracle Mile? I don't think so, Fred. He's 149.5 last night. I'm not sure he's a 147 and change horse, and I think this could be a 147 and change Miracle Mile. I'm not sure there's the same scope for improvement in his times as there might be a poster boy who could probably follow a 147 speed.
What about the fixer? What'd you make of his run?
Okay, Fred, to be honest, the race I think he's got a better chance of winning is the Bohemia Crystal or Miracle Mile night. I just don't think he's a natural miler. Very few New Zealand horses are.
Yeah.
He runs with his head down. He's not a flashy, get-over-the-ground-well type horse. He'll learn from last night's experience, but he's $13 with tab.com.au for the Miracle Mile, and look, you might be able to get 20. He's got to qualify yet. He is the New Zealand Cup winner, so if he finishes top three, they'll want him in the race, but look, his campaign this summer hasn't inspired me at all.
Okay. Now, the Derby and Oaks heats are also, you mentioned the Ladyship Mile qualifier, but the heats of the Derby and the Oaks, another masterpiece, heads the market at 320, Muscle Factory 330. Now, during the week, Muscle Factory worked at Menangle after the last race and ran ridiculous sections for 2,300 metres. I know it was a trial and there was a prompter there to sort of sool it along, but gee, you sort of wonder, with his affinity for the Menangle track, trained locally, whether they can beat Muscle Factory.
I agree. I think the horse who's the biggest danger to him, Fred, is Centenario.
Centenario. I knew. I had a feeling you were going to say Centenario. I really did.
I just think that Emma and Clayton trained there. I think they're the best visiting trainers to Menangle. They visit Menangle
totally.
Very well. Their horses are very fit. I think he could be the horse. Who I think he's around 5.5 on tab.com. I saw 5.5 running around somewhere last night. Fred, he's really in play, and I think he's got a great chance of beating a Muscle Factory, only because Muscle Factory could make the race for a swooper, because he only knows one way, Fred, and that's to run flat out.
Yeah, 100%. Now, what about the Oaks? I think this is an absorbing race. I'm a big rap for Cheesy Fingers. She's 4.5 at the moment. Brooklyn's Best was able to win during the week. It's 11. But heading the market is Princess Tiffany and Kualoa. Our Princess Tiffany, 2.50, and Kualoa at $4.
Now, Princess Tiffany had a really bad start to the season. She was disappointing in December. They put her aside, trialled at Rangiora in New Zealand on Wednesday. She wasn't even coming to the track. She couldn't walk through the field. Natalie Rasmussen said to Mark Bernard, "Nah, we're going to bring it." So it's on the plane next Friday with the dream about me and Ellie Matt. It's the best horse in this race. There's absolutely no doubts about that. And just as clearly, the second best horse is Kualoa. But they couldn't be more different. Princess Tiffany is sleek and fast and racy. Kualoa is like a big meat axe of a horse. He's just a big tractor. If the best Princess Tiffany turns up, I think she can win. But there are some doubts over her. Whereas Kualoa from the poster boy winning stable has been really good in her first two starts back in Victoria. Intriguing race. It could very much be the hare and the tortoise type race there. And I do take your point on Cheesy Fingers. She's been fantastic since coming to New South Wales. But the other two fillies have proven Group 1 form,
yes.
Whereas Cheesy doesn't just yet. But that might change in the next 2 weeks.
As we wrap up, Mick, I'm just going to ask you... one word answers, and this is long range, 2 weeks away from these big races. Miracle Mile, fancy at this stage.
Tiger Tara, Fred, with no conviction.
Okay, fair enough. What about the Derby and the Oaks? You're sticking with Muscle Factory and Princess Tiffany.
I'll go Centenario and okay. Princess Tiffany, Fred. So I'll bounce those same three questions back to you.
Oh, look, I'm in the Tiger Tara camp, and I'm a big fan of Kualoa. Again, as you say, the nature of her build, and she just gives the impression she's that sort of horse, and I'm sticking with Muscle Factory. What I've seen of him, he's been superb. So they're my long range, but we are allowed to change them up, Mick, if things change in the coming 2 weeks.
Hey, Fred, well done on picking a dead heat last night. You nailed it, so you've had a big deal at the office, Fred, which is good. It's nice to be going to the big carnival in form. You're in a winks-like form, Fred.
Yeah, well, it's one of those places, Mick. You're in a good spot at Menangle, but sometimes you just cannot split them. And I spat out, it's a dead heat, you know, as they cross the line, and bless the judges for agreeing. But then a couple of races later, I've called Call Me Queen Bee, winning like she'd won by half a length, and she'd won by a nose. So let's better rein it in a little bit.
Oh, Bree, hey, the bottom line is, you called it dead heat, you got it right. That's the commentator's 25-1 winner. So looking forward to the next couple of weeks, Fred. Looking forward to working with you on Sky next Saturday night. It's going to be one hell of a night before we pulled up to the big one March the 2nd. So pretty exciting times in New South Wales harness racing.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you, Mick, and we'll do it again, as you said, next Sunday.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, Mick. Mick Guerin there. And Simon, that's Pacing a Rewind for today. And gee, we're right into the meat and potatoes of the carnival right now with next weekend, the Oaks Heats, the Derby Heats, the Ladyship Mile Qualifier and the Miracle Mile Qualifiers. It's going to be one almighty weekend next Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to it already. Thanks very much for your help, Fred, and enjoy your Sunday.
Cheers, Simon. You too.
It's 14 to 11. In just a moment, we'll have Mick Cowley aboard with this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester, plus your calls. Sydney Radio's longest running program. Punters Postmortem. Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio. The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
We had a terrific night of greyhound action from the Meadows. And joining me now is Michael Cowley. Good morning to you, Mick.
Hello, Simon. How are you, mate? As you said, fantastic night last night at the Meadows. Some great racing, some fantastic results.
Shall we touch on the Invitational race firstly, Mick, to Tim Lee?
I think we should. It was the most expensive in terms of the $100,000 race. Let's have a listen to the Tim Lee.
Out very fast there, Orson Allen near the inside, going up in a hurry. Baruga Brett to tackle. In behind them there, My Redeemer. Out of the straight, and it's a great race up front now. Baruga Brett's trying to get across and did so. Going to the back straight. A length and a half, Orson Allen, followed by Hasten Sally up to third. Then My Redeemer the outside. 4 lengths away came Buck's Future, followed by Poke the Bear. Third last, well back Cosmic Bonus. And Circle of Dreams, the leaders, Baruga Brett, though. 2.5 to 3 out in front over Orson Allen. And Baruga Brett is going to win the Timley in great fashion. Orson Allen second. Third, Hasten Sally, I'd say. Then My Redeemer, Poke the Bear.
That was a replay there of the Tim Lee from last night. Mick, no such luck for the New South Wales reps, Cosmic Bonus and Buck's Future. It was Baruga Brett from Box 6. Too good for them, for trainer Brooke Ennis.
Absolutely, yeah. As you mentioned, the two New South Wales runners drawn 1 and 7. They weren't swiftly away, and that, you know, in a race like that with runners like that, you've got to be on the bunny early. And that was the same story with Poke the Bear. Yeah, not a noted fast beginner as he's shown. He usually can overcome that, but even he was back in the field and made up a bit of ground late to finish in fifth spot. But yeah, anywhere near the two that were up ahead. Baruga Brett, yeah. Fantastic performance for Brooke and Jamie Ennis. That's their second Group 1 with this dog. Of course, he won the Silver Chief back in January. And people also forget, he won the Cup Night Sprint back on Melbourne Cup Night and actually clocked a time that was faster than the Melbourne Cup winner, My Redeemer, that night. So plenty of ability, and we'll see him bob up in the next few weeks in the Australian Cup, which heats are on next week, and we'll touch on those a bit shortly, Simon.
Right, so that was a look at the Tim Lee. We had the Rookie Rebel on as well. Mick, let's take in a replay of this race.
Ready and racing. And going out fast, there would have been Deliver Box number three, the favourite, pounced on the early lead. And down the straight with the lap to go, it's Deliver the leader by a length and a half clear. Slingshot Hammer, three lengths away. Then came Benali up to third. Going up on the inside there on the improved Blackjack Neo, followed then by Blue Striker. Then came Cash Point and two or three away. Neo Cleo going down the back straight. Deliver the leader, led by a length and a half now. Over Slingshot Hammer, two lengths further back, Blackjack Neo. Gap in the race and a Blue Striker, followed well back by Neo Cleo. Turning for home though, and Deliver is nicely clear. And Deliver's going to win the Rookie Rebel. Second, Blackjack Neo. Third is Blue Striker, followed then by Cash Point on the.
So that was the 600 metre Rookie Rebel there, and Deliver, the $2 favourite from Box 3. Mick jumping straight on the bunny, and Fashona Thompson delivered the win over Blackjack Neo and Blue Striker. In fact, the reserves 9 and 10 filled third and fourth.
Yeah, there was a few scratchings in that, which kind of. Yeah, it didn't deteriorate the field, but yeah, kind of took a few chances out. But Deliver was always going to start favourite, and certainly gave his backers no cause for concern at all. New South Wales punters would obviously remember Deliver came up here last year, and I think it was in November, and took out the Vic Peters, another Group One. So it's a couple of Group Ones for Fashona Thompson and Deliver.
So that was a look at the Rookie Rebel, the other feature race on last night. The Group 1 Zoom Top over to 725. Let's have a listen to this one.
And racing. And Tornado Tears on the outside began okay. Way fast back. Is going to lead settling down from Pogo Dorado. Tornado Tears wide around the outside, getting up on the inside. Blue Moon Rising, they were followed by Moment to Jive. Five lengths away then came Rip and Sam, second last with a lap to go. Double Jet last is Macari. Out of the straight they run now, and the leader here was Black Impala, led by two. In second spot, Blue Moon Rising, up on the inside. Tornado Tears, they were followed then by Pogo Dorado. A gap then to Moment to Jive, and well back then came Rip and Sam coming off the back straight, and it's still Black Impala leader coming around the outside. Blue Moon Rising with a big run. Tornado Tears going up on the inside. Blue Moon Rising moved up on the outside and took the lead. Tornado Tears kicking in. Batman, he's back. And Tornado Tears has won it from Blue Moon Rising, followed then by Rip and Sam and Moment to Jive, followed then by Bacardi.
Yeah, he's a good greyhound, isn't he? Tornado Tears there for Rob Britton, grabbing Blue Moon Rising right in the shadows of the post. And Moment to Jive ran third, Mick.
No, phenomenal story, really, Simon. Yeah, that was his first run back since being injured. He injured at a hock back on September 22. Hasn't had a run, or hasn't had a race start since. First up over 700. Not a bad training performance, but as Rob Britton did say, he took his time with him, he got him ready, gave him about 7 or 8 trials. So it wasn't as though he was coming in completely cold, but just a remarkable, remarkable greyhound. It's, that's 10 out of his last 11, his last 7 in a row. He's won 20 out of 29. 4 Group Ones, the list just goes on and on. And for Rob Britton too, that's his fourth Zoom Top trophy in the last 6 years. Yeah, he won in 2014 with Cheetah Zorro, Space Star in 2015, and of course the champ Fanta Bale last year. And now he's got another one. And Tornado Tears, Harness Racing has Tiger Tara at the moment. Yeah, obviously Winks and the Thoroughbreds. Tornado Tears is probably the best thing in greyhound racing at the moment.
And Poco Dorado disappointing near me.
He was, she was a bit. Didn't jump as cleanly as she can. She doesn't seem to be the same sort of greyhound when she's not leading. She did try hard, but Blue Moon Rising, litter brother, that was a great run. Yeah, 2 strides from the post, had it won. Fantastic run. I only got a start because of the scratching. It was first reserve. So the litter keeps bobbing away, but Poco certainly wasn't at her best. And I think, if she does lead, totally different story.
So that was a look at the Meadows last night. Next week, Nick, as you touched on, we'll have the Australian Cup heats. Are the fields out for these yet?
Not as yet. They did seed 56 greyhounds, and they've got a few out of the prelims that'll come through. And look, all the good ones are there. At the moment, Orson Allen and Poke the Bear are $4 equal favourites with tab.com.au. Baruga Bread after last night's into $8 second favourite, or third, second line of betting, with My Redeemer. There's a few New South Wales dogs that have got a run. Obviously, the two from last night, Cosmic Bonus and Buck's Future, and then throw in the Bathurst Cup winner, Caitlin Keeping, and the ever-consistent Fast Car Driving as well. So we'll have a few representatives from New South Wales in there, but they'll have to really lift their games to match it with the big guns like Orson Allen and Poke the Bear and Baruga Brett.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Bulleye next week, they've got the Cyril Rowe Bulleye Gold Cup final on.
They do indeed. They had three heats of the series last night. Everyone was waiting with bated breath after Pindari Express had broken the track record in the 400 2 weeks prior and gone close again last week, and over 472 last night. Everyone was keenly anticipating heat two of the series, and let's have a listen to that one now, Simon.
Racing, Pindari Express second last to go and winning the Hop Tiempo De Niro. Double Tax goes to second. Up to third, the inside, Pindari Express, Rockstar Beef. Out the back, Feral Frankie from Kim's Love. Double Taxes quickly after Tiempo De Niro. Gee, I don't like Pindari Express. He's a minute back. It's Double Tax in front as they turn, trying hard. Tiempo De Niro and Feral Frankie late. Feral Frankie moved up. Feral Frankie's won it. Big run. Feral Frankie's won it from Double Tax, Pindari Express, and then Rockstar Beef. They were followed home then by...
So that was a replay of the second of the Bulleye Cup heats that were on last night, Mick. And was that the quickest of them?
It wasn't the quickest, but from Pindari Express's point of view, his time in running third, as I said, there was three heats. First and second in each heat got through to the final in the two fastest thirds. And fortunately for Pindari Express and Connections, he was fast enough to be the eighth qualifier for the final. So he scraped through. As we heard on the call that he got a minute back, he struck a bit of bother, copped a couple of checks. I spoke to Tracy Screws, his trainer, this morning. She said he's pulled up fine. Unfortunately, just copped a few checks, slowly away again. Drawn six next week in the final, and apparently she spoke to Ron Marsden, who trains the seven in the final next week, and Ron told her that the seven chucks a left-hand turn as he comes out of the box. So Tracy's actually hoping that Pindari Express misses it a couple of steps next week in the final as well, and hopefully gets some clear air. Fastest of the three heats, though, was the Victorian Nervous and Weird, who clocked 26.33. He's now won 16 of 24 starts. Pretty good record. And the other heat went to Major Riot, who is actually a litter mate of Million Dollar Chase winner Mystic Riot, trained by Anthony Azzopardi, and he clocked 26.42, beating Black Forge by a nose. So it's a good feel. I'll just quickly run through the box draw. We've got Catch Me Curly in box one, box two, Black Forge, Nervous and Weird 3, Major Riot 4, Double Tax is 5, Pindari Express, of course, is 6, Hardaway Harada 7, and Feral Frankie was a great flash time to win that heat. He's drawn box 8.
And at headquarters last night, Mick, King Kratos has maintained his undefeated record.
Yeah, it wasn't the same flashy jump to the front and off he went. He actually had to do a bit of work, showed a lot of tenacity, and Jason Magri's dog now won 6 out of 6. It was an impressive win, ran 30.02, not as quick as he has broken 30 in two previous Wentworth Park runs and has a 29.85 best there a couple of weeks ago. But maintained the winning record and showed that he is able to do it a few different ways. So he was impressive. Yeah, up-and-coming dog, and we'll look forward to see where he goes next. Chris Carl's rostered on, won his 11th Wentworth Park race, clocked the fastest of the night, 29.91. And there was a great win in the opening race by Charlie Casey. Go back 3 weeks now, it was the heats of the Derby, and Peter Carr, who trains Charlie Casey and a few of the other dogs. He had a few of them in the heats of the Derby. He was driving home to Mudgee that night and swerved to miss a kangaroo, and the car went off the road and the trailer got damaged, and he actually couldn't find Charlie Casey for about 15 minutes. He was calling out his kennel name, Buzzy, and eventually eventually Charlie came back. He had a few cuts, some skin off his feet, but thankfully he was okay. And first start since then last night, and got the cash.
Good heavens. Yeah, that is a story. We've got we've got the Richmond Derby and Oaks not too far away, with heats coming up early next month.
Absolutely, yeah. First of March, actually. So straight after the Bulleye, our next feature up here will be the Richmond Derby and Oaks. They're 40,000 to the winners of both those finals. And already we've seen some interest from interstate trainers. Anthony Azzopardi, who won the 2017 Richmond Derby with Nangar Flame, and he won last year's Oaks with Blue Sky Riot. He's coming back again, and he's already said that he's bringing Cash Point, My Brocade, and You Know Fabio. And Fiona Thompson's mentioned that she's keen to come with Poke the Bear and Black Opium, who's obviously one of their real stars, up and coming stars. Black Opium comes for the Oaks, and Poke the Bear will come for the Derby, along with Deliver, rookie rebel winner from last night. So already there, Lumi is very competitive races with a lot of quality dogs.
Good stuff. And just before we wrap it up, Mick, we had the semi-finals of the Vince Carrion at Ipswich last night, the $60,000 final next Saturday.
Absolutely. And it's turned out to be a good race. A few surprises in there. A week earlier, he had 10 heats, and there was an impressive Darren Russell trained Bago Bluff, who clocked 30 and 24, which is, you know, absolutely flying. And it was, you know, pretty much installed as the early favourite for the series after that. But unfortunately, trouble can happen in races, and Bago Bluff missed the kick in his semi last night and got in trouble. And unfortunately for connections, for Darren, has missed the final. Fastest qualifier out of last night's semi-final,